Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eltinge, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years, on the show as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analysis. Some of the things the Want Institute offers, we offer help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship coaching. If you want more information on the ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. Before we get started, however, please grab a pen and paper so you can write down the call-in number. Or the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Let me repeat that, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number and please have the call number in your call list so that it does not go to spam. Unfortunately, Dr. Allen is not on tonight. She will be joining us next week. So tonight we have Patricia Eltinge taking answers. And at 5 o'clock, Patricia will also be doing dream interpretation. So please feel free to give us a call at 323-203-0815. Patricia, please join us and let us know a little bit about you.
Hello, Sue, and Talk Radio, LA Talk Radio. I'm so happy to be here tonight with all of you out there. And yes, my work is following Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute, and I've been collaborating with Dr. Pat for 25 years plus, and I am also a dream analyst. My book, by the way, is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And in case people want to contact me, my website is thedreamclass.com. And you can always email me, patricia@thedreamclass.com. And all my info is on there. So I've been in the health field, the adjunct health field, with having had a holistic health clinic for many years since the 80s, and got deeper and deeper into this specific avenue of wellness. And then the dreams to me were the next key to touching into the subconscious. And that's where our secrets lie, to help us have a better life and bring us to consciousness.
Nice. I want to tell the audience a little bit about Dr. Pat's ladies groups, if they're interested. The groups are limited to 5 ladies. The groups meet once a week. There's variable days and times. 5 ladies, and each lady gets to work with Dr. Allen for 15 minutes in the group. Dr. Allen, we help you make better dating decisions, understand the difference between the masculine and feminine energy, basic communication skills on how to talk rationally, not emotionally, 3 tools to protect yourself in emotional situations. That's the stroke and stand, the 5-step cleanup, and the validation. How to be the feminine mystique. Learn how to masculine respect. How not to let your ego keep you single. And how not to be a doormat. Instead, lean back, receive, be patient and vulnerable. Dr. Allen's groups are $200 per month. That's 4 classes. And my groups are $160 a month, and that's for 4 classes as well. If you want information, please feel free to email me for any questions at info@drpatallen.com, or our phone number is 949-723-0338. Dr. Allen currently has a wait list. The groups start on the first of each month. So March is, March is full, but there's always a few openings. April, please feel free to give me a call if you want to be on the wait list for April's groups. So with that, hopefully we'll have some call-in questions so we can get busy and answer some questions on the show. Are you there, Patricia?
I am here. Indeed, I am here. Thank you for all of that wonderful information. And I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you out there in Radio Land to get some better communication skills.
If we have no callers, oh, here's a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yeah, hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Okay. Well, I call in from time to time. I am engaged in an established relationship.
Great. Okay.
And 7 months, and we see each other every weekend. And we spend the whole weekend together. But a lot of times it's not really confirmed. Sometimes he says, okay, well, I'll see you Friday. But then sometimes he doesn't. So I'm always feeling anxious around that. I don't know. He did mention something about Sunday. So today when I seen him, I said, oh, well, something about Sunday or the weekend, you know, I'm expecting him to say Friday, but it's kind of like,
why don't we, whoops, there, the technical stuff just sometimes takes people away into the cosmos.
Oh, she'll be right back.
I know, that's please, what happens.
Everybody out there, Dr. Pat's going to be on next week. Yeah. Here she's back. Hi.
I understood
what you're saying. Now, here's what you can do to alleviate the stress of not knowing. You can say to your beau, are you engaged?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So if things are vague, that's not a comfortable place to be. So you can say something earlier on, and it's perfectly fine to ask for confirmation.
Right. Well, it's kind of unwritten about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I spend the whole weekend with him every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not.
What is the last communication?
Well, he says he'll get back to me today about like Sunday. I don't know if he's just talking about Sunday.
So you feel like Friday is up in the air in a way. It hasn't been confirmed.
Every weekend we spend from Friday on, it's like unwritten, but I'm still wondering if it's just automatic.
You know, things are loose ends like that, it's not really comfortable for anybody. So it's better to have plans confirmed, even if it's an unwritten things get wonky and sometimes cause problems. So it's okay to say, are we confirmed for tomorrow?
Is that leading? He didn't mention anything about tomorrow.
He didn't mention it? Well, then don't bring it up if you're not comfortable doing it. If you're engaged, did you have another plan, by the way? Did somebody offer you something else? Then if you didn't have another offering, just sit tight.
And don't bring it up
Does. Right. So, and then when it comes down to if he doesn't, when would he typically see you? What time?
9 o'clock. Usually I go to his place on the
Friday.
Weekends.
What time?
At 9
okay,
at night.
And you just show up without him saying, when are you coming? Will I see you at 9? What happens typically?
Well, sometimes he says, okay, well, Friday. Or he'll mention the weekend, you'll come Friday, but sometimes he doesn't. I bring it up.
Don't bring it up then.
Don't bring it up.
Don't bring it up. The only way, you'd also don't want to diss him and think that he is being left in the dirt. So if it comes to the afternoon, say, hi, it's me. just confirming what you want the plans for this weekend to be and let him lead from there.
Okay, so, all right.
Just looking for confirmation for this weekend. You want to, and then you're encouraging him to lead you somewhere.
Right, because I don't know if it's not saying anything for we've never missed one weekend.
I understand.
Together.
I understand, but we don't want to leave room for you to be pissed at him either.
All right,
so or him to be pissed at you.
Okay, so in the afternoon, just bring up, you know, I'm not sure about this weekend, you know, what
no,
are your plans?
No, I'm not sure. No.
Okay.
What I said was, words are very specific. Words have meaning, and when that's why we have these communication tools, because they are healthy communication tools. So here's what you say. Yeah, sometimes you do call him, right, since you're engaged.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you call him and say, by the by, hi, how's everything? Fine. Well, I just want, I was hoping for some confirmation as to what you want me to do this weekend.
Okay.
What confirmation on us, not just me, what you want for us this weekend, and use the word want for him, not want for you. Wanting is masculine, so you're going to say you can say I want to know, or what you want for us, the team, this weekend.
Got it. All right. Well, that sounds good. I like that because it brings me always anxiety. And
I don't want you to live in anxiety. Yeah. At the same time, we do want them to lead, but not leave things so loosey-goosey and just rely on only past things that you say was typically the way. But let's see what the plans are. You're already engaged. So it's
right.
Not uncommon, or it's normal for you to give him a call and ask him what he wants.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, great. And thank you for always calling in and keeping us in touch with
keeping
what
us
you're
posted.
Up to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. It's always good to hear the people calling back with their results. Hopefully we'll have that lady to call back when she's still waiting for her guy to come back after the high buy letter.
Oh, right. It's always an interesting period, and it's nerve-wracking, but we get people to practice patience.
I know. That seems to be the hardest thing, is for the ladies to be patient. I have a question of one lady. She's like, she knows that she goes back and forth. How would you tell a lady, because, you know, they're with their guy friends and they stay masculine with the guy friends. Is it hard for the ladies to go back and forth so much?
Yes, the women then sometimes get pissed when they surrender to them, when the man surrenders finally. Then they're pissed and want to throw them away when they finally get what they want. That's not what we do. That's not what we teach.
What about like a lady a guy committed, then he blew her off, and then we wrote the high bye letter. He comes back around, and then out of spite, she's mad at him and doesn't want him back.
But well, that's
he still comes back.
Well, that she got what she wanted. People, we want you to understand when you get what you want, accept the gifts that you asked for.
What would that mean? She was in a relationship. He got scared.
He went away. So fine. Now he's coming back.
Yes.
And you've already stipulated, the high buy letter, by the way, stipulates what it is you want out of a relationship, whether it's with him or somebody else.
But is it masculine if she's then mad at him that, you know, well, I'm not picking him because he hurt me and I don't want, is that being masculine kind
no,
of?
No, that's being a bitch.
Okay. Okay. I seem to get a lot of them do that, but I'm like,
then? that's why they're single, because they turn into bitch when they get what they want. So it's self-sabotage.
Yes, that seems to be
High buy letter sometimes gives them the space to think and ruminate what it is they really want, and it gives them the space to miss the person, and then they miss them and decide, oh, that's really, I really want to be with her. And then they come back and say, I'll do everything that you want out of a relationship. And what that is them surrendering and so, accept it and come back.
Yes. A lot of the ladies in Pat's ladies groups, you know, she's famous for the hi bye letter. Either if you disrespected them and the guy went away, we do a hi bye letter. Or if the guy just went away and he kind of ghosts you, we can do hi bye. There's different ways to get the guy to hopefully maybe come back or reconsider. Or if you did something that disrespected him, you can make an apology, amends. There's a lot of different ways that we have tools and information to help the ladies work through their issues with men.
Right. And so for those out there, if you're new to this show, this is the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Show on LA Talk Radio. When we talk about a hi bye letter, it's basically a Dear John, but with a golden parachute, because we talk about everything. Here's what the hi bye letter looks like for those of you out there.
Yeah.
So we describe it this way. Thank you for reading this letter in advance. The first paragraph is everything you experienced with that person in the relationship that was great, positive, felt good, all the good stuff, all the fun, all the good times, everything you felt that was good. Then the second paragraph is everything that you felt was painful to you, the negative things. So that's you're talking about the pain and how you didn't feel good. The third paragraph is everything that you don't want again in a relationship, not using the person talk, no U's put in it, no Y-O-U's put in it, but nothing, everything that you don't want in a relationship in the future, a relationship in the future. So that's whether it be with him or somebody else. The third paragraph is everything you do want in a relationship in your future. And that's where you're stating all your personal boundaries, all your wants. This where you do state your wants, what you expect to feel, how you want to feel in a relationship, everything you want out of a relationship. And then the lastly, you say, I thank you again for reading this letter, and I wish you well with love. Goodbye. So that's what that is. And it's the ladylike way of saying you've had enough, you can't do this anymore. And you really only do that when you can't stay one more minute. So when you cannot stay one more hour, one more minute, one more day, you write this golden parachute hi bye letter. And then they get up to 8 weeks to ruminate over it and see if you are worth coming back to. Now, that's often when they really surrender. So they'll surrender to everything you want in a relationship. And they may take up to the 11th hour of the 8th week. And they have the 8 weeks is a scientific period of time that the brain often it is known that cybernetics did this studies about how long it takes for a brain to come around to making a decision one way or the other. So some people come back in 3 days or even 3 hours, but some people take up to 8 weeks. Once it's past 8 weeks and they haven't come back to you, and we're talking about there's no talking to that person, no getting together with that person, no texting back and forth, this is considered you're ready to walk away for good. You've spilled it all out there in your email or your letter, and you have finished it. As far as you're concerned, you have reached your point of apathy and empathy. You're not even pissed anymore.
And then what about like if the guy ghosts you, he goes away, you still do the hi bye letter in case it's like opening the door if he wants to come back as well.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, so it works both ways. If the guy kind of ghosts you and you haven't heard from him in a while,
that's right.
You send the hi-bye letter too, and it kind of gives him a door that he can reach back without getting his head bitten off.
That's right. And that's the whole point. You don't bite their heads off. If they surrender, they're coming back in a vulnerable state. They're coming back wanting to be with you and wanting to negotiate your relationship closer to what will make you feel good. So that's not the time to be pissed. That's the time to say, yay, I might actually get what I want out of life.
Yeah, that's true. So when they do come back, that's actually a good signal that he's really pretty much ready and willing to move on. That's kind of a good sign, not a sign of
it's a fabulous. It is.
I don't want him. It's like, I don't want him anymore.
Yeah, come on, ladies. We really want to encourage you to not have your ego talk for you.
That's true. The ego will keep you single.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, do you have any write-ins?
I don't have any write-ins. It's been slow this week. I guess
President's Week. People are traveling.
Yeah, a lot of times this time of year, a lot of off the top of my head, I can just think of some, though. Like, I get a lot of questions from people. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what's another one? Oh, well, the ones that it always goes back to the ladies. They always want to rearrange the man's date. The guy will say, hey, let's meet somewhere. And the lady will go, no, I want to talk on the phone. They always rearrange the man the way they want the date to go. How does that work?
We want to say that, ladies, we have the veto right. They can offer us A, B, and C, and we can say yay or nay.
Yeah. Oh, we have a caller here. You're on the air with Patricia. You have a question.
Hi.
Hello, ladies. Hello. I am the woman who is sort of loosely dating the widow.
Oh, good. Yes, we know you. Good.
So I did something that I think was a good thing. We talked around day or two before Valentine's Day, and he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was going on a date. And he's like, okay, well, if I were there, then I would take you on one too. You know, little joke. We both laughed. And then he left to go out of town, and I didn't hear from him. So last week, I called him just to say hi, and he seemed like he was glad to hear from me. Then he asked me to come over to his home for burgers on the grill, and I agreed. So, but this man still wears his wedding band, even though his wife has passed on. It will be 2 years this May. Am I doing the right thing by continuing to see him?
Yes, yes. Like, why not? Okay. Why not? He'll switch wedding rings when he's ready to marry somebody else, which could be you.
Okay. All right.
You're lucky you found a widower who actually liked being married. He's already been trained for you, so be nice to him.
Yes, I'm being nice. Okay, I have another question about a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went on a date last Friday. I met him through a matchmaking service. He called every day after the date up until we had hit a snag last Sunday where we talked Saturday, and he asked me if I felt comfortable coming to his home, and I said I didn't. He asked if I felt comfortable.
He asked, excuse me, he asked you what? If you could what?
If I felt comfortable coming to his home.
Had you met him before?
No, our first time meeting was on our first date.
Uh-huh. You had never met him in person?
No.
And where was your first date?
It was at a restaurant.
Okay, good. Good.
So he asked me to come to his home. I declined.
What, after the restaurant date? After the restaurant date?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a week later.
Oh, a week later. For a second date, he would want you at his home.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I nicely declined.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked if he could, if I felt comfortable with him coming to mine, and I declined that as well.
Well, let's see how you decline. First of all, let's go over this, because there's a right and wrong way to decline. We do have the veto rights, but let's do it the right way. What did you say when you declined?
I said, well, I'm really particular about who.
No, okay, let's start over. Let me give you a script. You say, okay. I so appreciate you inviting me over. That's so thoughtful. However, I'm not comfortable coming to your home at this time. Do you have another alternative? Do you have an alternative?
Okay.
Do you see the difference?
Oh, yeah.
It's the stroke and stand, the stroke. That's Dr. Mm-hmm. Rickles. You always stroke them.
You make them right for asking even for something that you don't want to do. But then you politely say you're not comfortable doing it. However, you can ask them if there's an alternative. Are they willing to offer you an alternative?
Okay.
So how did you decline the second time? Did he ask you to go to his house the second time too?
I haven't heard from him.
After you declined once? You said you declined twice.
Well, he asked me to go to his place, and I said what I said, and then he asked if he could come to mine, and then I declined by saying I didn't feel comfortable.
Okay. Okay, but let make them right first. In other words, thank you so much for wanting to see me in that at my place or your place. However, I'm not comfortable doing that at this time, but I'd be more than willing to see you at another venue, another place. Do you have anything else in mind? Do you see here how that sounds?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I see. So... then
it's not so abrupt, and it doesn't make our way makes you still sound available, but available on your terms.
Okay.
Instead of just being flat no.
Which I did, that was a flat no.
Okay.
So what should I do next? Because I said what I said, I haven't heard from him in a week. Well, Sunday will be a week.
You can go back in and clean it up and say, text him and say, I wanted to thank you for offering to see me last week and I'm still open to meeting you somewhere. So that's dropping a hanky and sort of cleaning it up, but thanking him for for him to want to see you. And then this is your cleanup way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're just kind of backpedaling a little here so you could clean it up.
Okay. Well, I need practice on that first script that you gave me. I really...
When they ask you for something that you aren't comfortable doing, first thank them for asking you. Thank them for being interested in seeing you. Oh, I'm so happy that you're wanting to see me. You're interested in getting together with me. I'm so appreciative of that. However, I'd be most comfortable meeting you somewhere else.
Okay.
It's much softer. It's more inviting.
Yeah.
You're not slamming the door. You're just inviting them to make another suggestion, yet you're still available.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll call in next week to let you know.
No, you can text him. Had you texted him before or only calls?
Usually he calls. He might text.
Had he texted?
Yes, yeah, he has.
Okay, so then you text him back and say that, by the way.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad you gave us an opportunity to teach that really important, words are crucial. Just a slight adjustment, a little tweak of communication can bring you a whole different result.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to be slamming the door in people's faces. We just want it to be known that we're happy that they're interested, and also at the same time setting a boundary that is done in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not in a tough, rude way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm getting ready to do it.
Okay. I'm glad you called us.
Yeah. Remember, it's the stroke and then the stand. You stroke them first, okay. Even for what they offer you.
Okay. Thank you both.
Bye. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. And check back with us next week. Oh, next week we'll have Dr. Allen on too.
Yay.
We got her phone fixed. She had technical difficulties for the past couple weeks.
Thank you, caller. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me just ask you a quick one. Tom, my boyfriend, had a dream about why we have a minute. It's the lost the wallet one. He can't find his wallet. I called you about that. A friend of mine had the same thing. No, she found her wallet and it was empty. This one, he just lost his wallet and couldn't find it. What is that?
Well, it depends. This is why I interact with people. The dream analysis is very interactive because I'm helping you connect the dots to your waking life. So I would say to him, what's going on in your waking life where you're having some kind of an identity crisis? What area in your life are you having issues with who you are?
He's putting together a condo, so he's retired but working a lot on this condo. He's a perfectionist.
Okay, well, that's it. His identity is being challenged.
Yeah, something was wrong with the floor tiles. I would have never noticed it, but he's like, I won't stand looking at it. I'm like, I don't see anything. I'm like,
Well, he's perfectionistic. Yeah. And at the same time, somebody else is doing the work. He didn't lay the tiles, I assume.
Yeah, he did.
He laid the tiles.
He's doing all the work. So
okay. Well, in that case, then he's thinking about his own identity. In this. Did I really do this? I'm a perfectionist. How could it be wrong?
I know. I think that's it, because he's done everything else and he brags about it except for the tiles on the shower floor.
He's not identifying with something that didn't come out right.
Yeah, he woke up and he goes, I had this dream about I couldn't find my wallet. And I said, okay, I'm going to bring that up tonight.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Identity crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not owning the fact that he made a mistake.
Well, yeah. I just go along with it. You know, I never make him wrong. That's one thing. When you have a man, unless he's doing something illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurts your body, you don't question him. Or ask for more, better, or different. I learned that the hard way. Once you get that skill down, you just nod your head and agree.
Go with the flow, ladies.
You know, it's like the ladies go, how do you do it, Sue? I go, it's so easy once it clicks. You ladies are working too hard. It isn't hard at all. Stop trying to figure it out.
Yeah. It's just, well, it's awkward at first when you're learning new communication tools, and it feels awkward because it's not the way you were taught to speak. And that leads me into talking about the other thing we do at Dr. Pat Allen does, and what I do is doing life scripts. We send out a questionnaire. And we get into 20 some odd questions that you fill out and do your homework on your own. Bring it to me or Pat, Dr. Allen. And then we get into the nitty gritty of what made you, starting from 6 months in utero. And that is everything that you experienced and were taught by your schools, your parents, your grandparents, and your churches, your TV shows, and all those things were the input that created you. That's the downloads And now we sort it all out and decide which things no longer serve you.
Oh, we have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I do. Thanks Let's for taking it. My call. So I've read most of Getting to I Do up until like the first through the third section of the month, the one through three.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with all of the content, and I've been dating somebody for almost a month. And
I
would
love
to be
in the rosy period. Okay.
Well, I would love to be, duty dating and dating other people, but there aren't any other people, really coming forward at this time. So I've just been seeing him. Mm. He likes to, I would say, I don't want to say manipulate my time, but he likes to talk a lot and keep in communication, which I love. So we're texting, we're talking on the phone. That's all great. There is somebody that I knew from before I met him that I would like to see again, and I'm not sure how to let him know that I may not be available, on a
the
night.
The other one, that's why you need to keep three going until one commits to you. He hasn't committed to you yet, has he? The one, we have a number one, a number two, and a number three. You rank them.
Right.
So
right
now, this particular one is number one. You have a potential in the wings, and yes, you should see him. You don't have a commitment yet with, you're not having sex with this one, right? Or you
no,
are?
No, but okay. I have had sex with number two.
In your past.
I would like to do that again. Yes.
Okay. You'd like that one better. If he went for it, you would like to go with number two.
Yeah, but it's probably it's a long distance thing, and it's probably
we don't care this no we don't want to have mind read, and we don't want to predict. If you like him, you have chemistry with that person, see him and still keep your personal boundaries and see him. You don't have to tell the other person you're seeing him, because you're not in a committed relationship.
Okay, so if he says, "Well, what are you doing tonight?" and I have plans with number two,
you just say, "I have plans." You say, "I have plans tonight. I'm not available tonight." You be honest, but you don't have to say who you're going with. You just say, "I'm not available tonight." And then immediately say, "Let me know what's my next opportunity."
Okay, so if he says, "Well, what are you going to do?"
I have plans with friends.
Specific question.
I have plans.
Okay.
I have plans with friends.
So just keep it vague.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
No, he's not in the position to ask anybody can ask anything, but anybody has a right to ask anything. Then you have a right to not tell people what you're doing, because you're not in a committed relationship. So you're not, that's why you have to be careful of becoming prematurely monogamous.
Right. No, I haven't had sex with number one yet.
Well, you're still acting monogamous, and that's dangerous. It's dangerous for you and your head.
Yes.
So let's not get too monogamous till somebody wants to close the deal.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to close the deal yet with him.
Then
I'd love to be seeing other people. It's just not any opportunities at the moment.
Well, then keep your days open. Keep your times open. Don't make plans with him every single day.
Oh, no, I don't see him every day. So maybe a couple times a week.
Okay. So. Okay.
Okay. And well, thank you for your feedback. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in, and give us an update.
Okay. I also have a dream analysis. Should I call in after 5?
What do you think?
You can take a dream now. She's already
Let's
on.
Let's have it. You're already
Let's
on
go.
The air.
Okay.
Don't Let's need to hang it. Up and call back.
So I had a dream last night. So I haven't lived at home with my father in, 30 years probably. It's been a long time.
Okay.
But I had a dream. I was living back home with him. In the house that I grew up at, where he still lives. And he had like some people over, but he was sort of like making a lot of noise and not being considerate of the other people who were sleeping. And that sort of irritated me in the dream. And then the second part of the dream is, this is kind of gross, but I had a lot of like phlegm in my throat. And so I was trying to like cough it out, and it like the mucus turned into like blood. And so I was like, coughing up blood. And I was like, this is good.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening. Your father in your dreams represents part of your script, and that's your feeling, your scripted side of your feelings. So what's going on in you where you're feeling a sense, how are you scripted to it? Was it during, when did you have this dream? Recently?
Last night.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, you're wanting to, the throat chakra, the throat area, when you're having this phlegm, which is a toxic material that's wanting to come out, and you had the dream about your scripted side of your feelings. So how are you feeling, and how did you feel about your dad? Could you give me a short synopsis of his character type in a nutshell?
He was a disciplinarian, and we butted heads. We don't have a close relationship.
So let me find out where you're feeling. That's that aspect of you. Where in your life now, recently, are you feeling like you're butting heads with someone? This is the part of you.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of yourself. Where are you butting heads?
I've had some tensions at work, but I'm working on them and getting really good results, different results.
Well, this is telling me that you're feeling like you're wanting to cough up some toxic material, but it's getting stuck. So it's stuck. You're not having words. Can I help you with your communication skills? What is it you want to say? And I'll help you have it come out in an easier way than coughing up blood.
Okay. Well, this could be more related to him. I mean, it could be related to the question I asked about the number one guy, because I've been trying to figure out the best way to say that. Do I tell
That's
him?
That's
like,
it. You've been holding back till it feels toxic to you, because you didn't know how to communicate it, which is, I'm glad you didn't say something wrong. So now you called in. Thank you. Thank God. So you called in to get the communication, which is basically you don't owe him an explanation of what you do with your time when you're not with him, because he's not your official boyfriend yet. He's only a date, and that is what you needed to not have to cough up toxic, bloody mucus.
Okay.
You understand?
That was easy.
This is what happens in our dream world. It's our subconscious mind that takes all this stuff and creates these images for us to decipher, but it's wanting to bubble up and give us a message so that we can fix it, which I just helped you fix. So you communicated to me, to us, and now don't you feel better?
I do. I like having a plan of action. That's fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. Great. Give us a report next week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, bye.
Did you finish your life script interpretation, Patricia? I think you were talking about it.
Oh, the life script. Yes, we were talking about how when you do your homework, when we send it to you, you come up with all the stuff from 6 months in utero. By the way, you are starting to be imprinted from 6 months in the womb to through your childhood and even beyond, but the main stuff that imprints you is in 6 months in utero to teenagehood, let's say, but you are always being imprinted. Nevertheless, what your parents, how they taught you, your families, your cultural background, your religions, your schools, your TV shows you watch, your movies. So all of this stuff comes up in this life script questionnaire, and then we take it apart and we examine everything and say, now, can you see how some of your behaviors stem from these inputs? Now what we want to do is say, what part of these behaviors, attitudes, and ideas that impede your personal growth? So when you do this work, you're able to decide who you want to be, so you can be an individual and be an actualized, individuated. The book on that is Maslow, Toward a Psychology of Being. Be an individual that you want to be and have your life flourish the way you want it to be, not the only the way it was imprinted.
Yeah, Patricia does that. And then if you're just listening in, Dr. Allen and myself, we offer the ladies group. So, and if you want, you can always contact the WAN Institute for any referrals or references as well. We have we have EMDR referrals, a therapist, or Patricia's a dream interpreter, and she also does one-on-one clients. My contact number is info@drpatallen.com, or you can call me at 949-723-0338. I'm here at the office. Please feel free to call with any questions you have, and I'll guide you to the right resources.
And I want to remind everyone out there to keep a pad and pen with you while you're listening to us, because we give you lots of juicy tidbits for you to utilize.
Yeah. This is also recorded, and it's put up on the LA Talk Radio website. For you to listen to all the past archives, if you want. And then also on iTunes podcasts, there's past Dr. Pat Allen relationship seminars. Just go on to iTunes podcast and Google Dr. Pat Allen. And there's years and years of her monthly relationship seminar recordings.
It's great. It's really generous. That is such a generous thing for you all to be doing. Yes.
It teaches, it talks of a lot of questions and answers, the tools. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I do get information how Dr. Allen has helped a lot of ladies get engaged. I get numerous emails on thanking her. So the system does work. Unfortunately, the hardest thing is that you have to do it completely. You can't pick and choose what parts you want. You have to do the whole system the way it's set up. There is no deferring, well, I want to do it this way, but this way. You can't pick and choose what you want to do. It's a designed method.
That's the beauty of it. Dr. Pat really is so innovative that the tools of relating in this way are proven over this time period, which is 50 years for her and 30 years for me. And I've seen this, and Sue has been involved now for almost 30 years too. So we see the results. And when people say, well, I don't want to do it exactly, I'll do it like Sue was saying, I'll say that, but then I'm going to end up doing it my way anyway. So then they're sabotaging themselves, because they have a proven system that doesn't work.
I read somewhere from other coaches, if you've been single so long, take a look. There's one common denominator, and what might it be? You.
Just try it our way.
There's one show I watch at Stacey and Darcy. You know, poor Stacy is always trying to get the young guy, and she's always dressing seductive, and she's getting a matchmaker, and the matchmaker, she can't stand the clothes that Stacy's wearing all the time. And Stacy's like, well, it's like, oh, does this girl not get it? And she wants younger guys, and the older guys, guess what? She doesn't have the chemistry for them, because they're the good guys that could actually stay with her and not cheat on her and stuff. It's one of those reality shows. It's funny to watch.
It's not funny, ha ha, but if she knew the tools
and knew how to work it, she would have a wonderful guy.
I know. Well, people, if they were to be patient and diligent and have, nowadays what we see is people want instant gratification. And that's Let me tell you, the a sign of a real woman is someone who is patient, passive, and receptive.
Yes.
We are built that way. We're receptive. Men are giving, protecting, and cherishing. to women, children, animals, and the planet. So they're built that way. And if women can get that, they wouldn't be competing with men on that level. I'm not talking about in the workplace.
Yes. Let's say
women's lib is great for us all in the workplace. So everybody can work and everybody can earn a good living. But let's all try to get along with each other with some healthy communication tools.
Yes. And then the polarities, the masculine, feminine, opposites attract, similars repel. So many women fight the concept that they want to be equal. Equal neutralizes the relation, the intimacy. You can be friends if you want to be equal, masculine and masculine, but you can't have a romantic relationship when you're butting heads. You have to have one masculine and one feminine. And then you can even be a feminine man.
Yes.
Feminine man with a masculine woman. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as the energies complement each other. And that's really hard for a lot of ladies to get with this women lips society. Yes. They all want to be, they just fight with men, and they have a masculine wall up. I call it the masculine wall.
Well, there are people who operate androgynously, and there are alpha women. And it doesn't mean they can't be with an alpha man. They can, but those are the trickiest. An alpha woman with an alpha man is a wonderful relationship, and they need the tools even more than anybody else, because they have to know when they're switching, when they're speaking
yes.
from their masculine or they're speaking from their feminine, when they're relating. And I loved a line Dr. Pat always used. She said, ladies, you successful corporate ladies, please hang your plastic balls up at the office door when you leave and go home. So that means you can be tough all day, be at the office and kick ass and earn a great living. But when you want to go home, just try to chill and get in touch with your feminine again. Go home and take a bath
yeah.
and nurture your body and remember what it's like to feel your physical body and get out of your head.
Yeah. Or as Dr. Allen always says in her recording relationship, keep your yang mouth shut.
Keep your yang mouth shut.
And then then they go, well, I can't. And then she uses the terms about you were taught how to potty train. You can teach your mouth how to stop puking out the yang.
That's right. Potty train your mouth.
Potty train your mouth.
So we can talk about Dr. Pat's books. Of course, many people know about Getting to I Do. You want to mention some of the other ones, Sue?
They're all available on Amazon. There's Getting mm-hmm. to I Do, and then there is a book called Staying Married and Loving It. It's out of print. We don't own the rights for it, but you can look for copies on Amazon. It goes into a little bit more detail. There's the book Truth About Men. That tells you ladies all about how men think, gives you an inside perspective and if you want to try and analyze men or understand what they're all about. There are a few books that were written by other coaches with Dr. Allen. There's one about the alpha. There's one, James Hanrahan has a couple books.
Dating for the Alpha Female.
Yes. He does. And then there's a great little book about just quotes, the answers. That one is just tidbits mm-hmm. of all of Dr. Allen's pearls. And there's an old movie out. It was made in the 1993 or four by Cherry Norris. It's called Duty Dating, Dr. Mm-hmm. Allen's trademark duty dating, how you're supposed to date three men or more. Mm-hmm. That's available. You can Google it and it's available to watch free mm-hmm. streaming. It's an older movie, but the concept of the teaching about a woman that kind of demasculates men on her dates and she doesn't know why they never call back.
It's a great little movie.
It's a great, it's the tools. Dr. Allen says date three men, because if you only date one, like the lady before, you're too focused.
Too focused on that one. When
two, it's either or. Three, you get variety, so you see what you like and you don't like.
Well, also the fact the man doesn't feel so much pressure on him.
Yes, yes. And also it gives the ladies a chance to find out from men what they want and what she wants and what she doesn't want without trying to change him as well. If she's only focusing on one, she's usually trying to change him. That's usually mm-hmm. what happens a lot. So
yeah, that's always a tricky.
They like the model, but they want to tweak him. Ladies, what you see is what you get. Do not try to change a man.
Mm-hmm.
That does not work. If he's 51% valuable on his worst days, he's a keeper. There are no perfect people. That's when people say, how do I know he's the one? You can go through numerous men, take the risk, and hope to God he does his part.
That's it. We take a calculated risk when we commit, but we don't want to commit until they want to commit with us, and that is giving us the long-term commitment for sexual, sensual, social monogamy, and going towards long-term commitment, whether it be partnered or married, with a paper, without a paper, and deciding on how long that period goes before you want to get married or just make that long-term commitment.
Yes. A lot of women, I've had some women in my ladies groups that insisted on getting in commitments after 1 or 2 weeks. And I advised I suggested get to know the man a little bit longer. Well, obviously they wanted sex ASAP, so they didn't know the man very well. And no. It didn't work out. So that was a lesson. Ladies, get to know the man a little bit before you have intercourse and commit to him, because
yes.
You need to know a little bit about him before you jump the gun on getting committed. That's all I suggest for my ladies at times.
Yes. So
it's about the time to start doing dream interpretation. I know gave Sam a couple numbers to call for our dreams. So hopefully he'll get in touch with them. And the callers out there, if you have a dream, please feel free to call us at 323-203-0815, and we'll let Patricia do some dream interpretation. You want to go ahead and talk a little bit about dreams, how to capture them?
Yes. I'll talk a little bit about my book again for those of you who just tuned in to LA Talk Radio, the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communications and Dream segment. So, again, my book is The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge, that's me. And my book is a way to get in touch with your own subconscious mind and how you can really start to hone your own sixth sense through the dream work and get answers to things that bother you, solve problems, dilemmas, and even understand some of your historical issues. I deal with a lot of people with PTSD and women who have been sexually molested and people who have been abused in their families growing up. So this is a beautiful way to help you grow into understanding what you can do to overcome issues like that, and even daily dilemmas. I have business people who use my services, who call me regularly, and they really love this work because it helps them make solid decisions, and they know their subconscious mind knows more than their conscious mind knows. Hello.
Hi, we have a dream for Patricia.
Hello. Hi, this is Donna.
Hi.
And hi, Patricia. Okay, so I had, it's kind of a short dream. It's like I woke up and there it was.
Good. But we don't need a lot in a dream. Sometimes one symbol can take me a long way with you. Let's have it.
Right. Okay. So what it is when I was raising my daughter, I always felt like that was the happiest time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I dreamt I was back in Wisconsin. It was a beautiful day. It was a summer day. And I had her carriage and I was, walking down the path. and it was the kind of carriage where the, you know, the baby, it wasn't a buggy, it was like a stroller, but it had a hood on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful day, and we're walking, and, you know, and I'm like all into nature. And then all of a sudden, the baby just kind of like falls forward. And I went, oh my God, what happened? So I go and I look at her, and it's like, oh my God, she's sunburned. I didn't put any sunscreen on her face. And I felt like I was like the worst mother in the world right then and there. And then I woke up and I went, oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. So when we dream of little, we use different people in our dreams to, I call them characters in our play that's trying to bring us a message. So in this dream, a female baby, you're feeling good in life, and then all of a sudden, this female baby is representing an emerging idea or work situation. So where in your life do you have something, a new project, or something new in your masculine side? Because I'll tell you why this is. In our dreams, male figures represent the feminine, which is our feeling-centeredness and how we feel about things. And female figures represent our masculine side, which is our productivity, our work, the way we think, ideas. So in this case, and when it's a baby, it is something that's emerging. It's not an it's not an older project. I'm talking about something that's new, or a new issue to do with the business side of life or your work side of your life. So where did you think that you dropped the ball and didn't do something right in the workplace, in your work life? Are you connecting with this?
Yes. Well, I'm thinking it might. I have two new big projects right now,
mm-hmm.
and one is coming up and in March, and the other one's coming up in December, and they're both brand new.
So are you afraid? Are you so perfectionistic that you are not, you're not trusting yourself that you will have done something right?
Well, I haven't gotten to that point yet. It's like mm-hmm. so overwhelming. It's like there's mm-hmm. so many
moving parts
and sponsorships to get, you know, it's mm-hmm. all about, it's just doing it.
So you have a fear that you might miss something that's crucial, which is something that's to do with protection. What might you think of where you are going to protect this project or these projects, this project or this?
No, it's just stepping down the gas and doing it. It's just getting out there and making it happen. And it's,
That's what we
that's
do.
What it is.
The dreams are that's alerting us that we need to take care. It tells us it very clearly what area of our life that we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention.
And this is it.
This is it. And this is how I bring
both
people.
Very visible.
Okay. So this is demonstrating how I bring somebody to consciousness to what area of their life they need to pay attention to. So this is a perfect example. And I so thank you for bringing a great dream to us. Thank you.
And I have to tell you, I absolutely love you. You have done so much for me with interpretation. Thank you.
Okay.
You're the best.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
See how that works? It's interactive because I can only help the person. I can reflect back to them the images with the interpretation of the images, but they have to do, I can only help them, guide them to connect the dots to their waking life.
Yes.
And what they need to do. Then the dream is just the springboard to then what? With what do we do to help our life go forward in a more smoothly?
Oh, I think we have, somebody just left.
That was the same person. They had just got off. Okay, so.
Call us back at 323-203-0815 to have Patricia do your dream interpretation.
Here we go.
You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream?
Hi, I do have a dream, yeah. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
So this dream was a childhood dream, and I actually haven't had it in a long time. I don't remember if the last time I had it, if I was 9 or if I was 20, but I haven't had it in quite a while. But I had it as a recurring dream very, very regularly when I was a little kid.
Mm. Let me tell you something before you start. Recurring dreams are unresolved issues. And that we don't have them anymore once we resolve the issue. So I'll help you connect to what that was at the time, hopefully.
Okay. All right. I don't know. It's very odd. I don't know what unresolved issue this could have been.
I'll help you find it. Let me hear the dream and I'll help you decipher it.
So in the dream, I was, it was in the Old West. So like probably somewhere between the 1850s and the 1880s. And I was in a wedding gown and I was on a train that was on a crazy S track. Like the track wasn't straight. It was really, really like an S curve.
How old were you in the dream?
I was grown in the dream.
How old were you when you had the dream?
Oh, I was a little kid. Had it all the time.
You had a dream that you were grown up in a wedding dress in the Old West. Okay.
Wait, I'm not finished yet.
Also, no, I wanted to get the picture straight so I can see it. Okay.
I was hugely pregnant, like wildly pregnant, like 11 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the train just never stopped. And I was alone on the train. There were other people on the train, but I was alone in the sense that I wasn't traveling with anyone. Mm-hmm. And, that was it. The train would just go on these crazy S tracks for forever. And I was alone in a wedding gown and like 11 months pregnant. And I was probably like 8 when I was having this dream.
Uh-huh. Well, we like to talk about trains. First of all, are very masculine figure. And if you're wildly pregnant, if you're extra pregnant, that means you're bursting with ideas or feelings. We don't know. Do you know in this dream if it is going to be a boy or a girl?
Nope.
You don't know that. Well, you're mm-hmm. bursting with ideas and feelings since you don't know what it is. At that age, you've got all kinds of, did you have a lot of aspirations already at that age?
I don't remember.
You didn't have things that you knew you wanted to be something or do something in particular as a young girl?
I don't recall.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying you did, because when you're bursting with in this way, you have a lot of grand ideas and feelings and ideas, and you're wanting to do something. And I'm saying that the mass. Did you go on in your life to do something that is in the masculine way, meaning business wise?
I mean, I grew up and got a job. Is that considered masculine?
Well, I'm just on the train, because there's a train in this too, and that's and you said it's going very fast, and that's vehicles represent the way through life, and this one is fast and big, and you were you wanted to leave that where you lived, where you grew up? Did you want to go somewhere and do something bigger, better than where you lived?
No, I pretty much stayed in the same town my whole life. I really love it here.
Okay, well, at your little girl, 8-year-old girl age, you had some kind of big ideas of doing something and going somewhere fast. Some big ideas, okay. But it's hard for me to say what went on at the time, because you're not remembering how you felt or what you wanted to do. So, because dream interpretation is very interactive, I can only try to draw it out of you. But if you don't remember what was going on, then it's hard to connect the dots to your waking life. But there were some, if you had it repeatedly, you had some strong desires at that time that were, you were bursting with emerging ideas.
Huh. Gosh, I wish I could remember. No idea what that could have been.
Okay, I wasn't there, and dream interpretation is not, I don't have a crystal ball and a hat and call myself Madame Verushka, but I'm definitely an empath and a sensitive, and I am able to draw things out of people, but it's harder when it's, and how old are you now?
52.
Okay, so that was many moons ago, and you mm-hmm. don't have recollection of where you were at the time, other than that you were eight.
Yeah, I was, probably eight, nine, maybe mm-hmm. six. I don't, could be anything.
Oh, you don't, okay. So you just remember a repetitive dream. Well, somehow you resolved it, or you'd still be having it.
Okay, that's interesting to know. Yeah, I it kind of popped into my head the other day, and I thought, I wonder why I haven't had that dream in so long. So, okay, well, maybe
somehow,
I did then.
Somehow it was resolved, because repetitive dreams are dreams of unresolved issues.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, caller. Mm-hmm. That was a good dream.
Well, our dreams, that's why our dream interpretation now, I do work with people who have PTSD and people who have had molestations and childhood traumas. I personally, why I got into the work in the first place, I talk about it in the one of the early chapters of my book, my introduction, when I talk about myself and how I suffered from nightmares as a child because I was kidnapped and molested as a child. And this brought me to this work. So here I am.
Hi, this
helping
is Vicky.
Others.
Please leave me a message.
Okay. Well, we'll try it again. We'll just try it again.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the people that,
Yeah, let's try that one again because I know, I think that person wanted to get through. Maybe they'll try to call in. There's some binging. Anyway, so back to my book and how I lay it out in the book. What's really important to try to capture your current dreams is the way you're able to remember them because they're gone in a flash when you wake up. So I encourage people to write in keep a pad by the bed, number one, and that is first.
Hi, it's Vicky. Please leave me a message.
First of all, write in your book, I'm going to remember my dream. That's step one. Later down the road, when you become proficient at the dream work, you can actually write a question to yourself. I need this. I want a resolution to this particular issue. I want to know how I should navigate this particular issue. So you say, I want to remember my dream. Well, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, but you do not open your eyes. Keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute period called the Lyman state, as in subliminal. It's the state of consciousness between sleeping and waking. And if you keep your eyes closed, you can still capture an image and scribble it down with your eyes closed in your pad. And I prefer that to a recording device, but because you have it to refer to, and your dream journals are a wonderful thing to keep. Anyway, you scribble down, road, cat, train. And then when you open your eyes, this period only lasts 3 to 4 minutes anyway. So have the discipline to keep your eyes closed until you're out of that state of consciousness. And then you build upon that. And the story is there. You will recollect what the scenario was, but it's the images that are in the dream that are all of all importance. And we dream in a hierarchy of people, nature, and things. When we're dreaming of things, inanimate objects, we are further away from a message coming to consciousness. When we start dreaming in terms of nature, which is landscapes and animals, we are coming a little bit closer to consciousness. And then when people come into our dreams, it's something is really starting to bubble through to our conscious mind, is closer to consciousness. So that being said, that is the beginning stages of how to capture your dreams.
Great.
And so there are also transgenerational dreams. Transgenerational dreams can come through because of our ancestors and traumas that have happened ancestrally. So that is a whole another part of the dream work, and that does come through, and you can plant the seeds to help resolve some of those issues and traumas. So anyway,
What are some symbols? Like, I know that somebody said, what does the masculine, you said up is masculine, and if they dream, like if somebody yes. dreams about water, what is that about?
Water dreams are great. Water dreams represent the sensual, sexual relationship side of life. And I mean any kind of water. That can be anything from a dripping faucet to Niagara Falls and a tidal wave or a bucolic lake, a puddle in the ground. All forms of water represent a barometer of where you are at in your sensual, sexual relationship part of your life.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about a friend, I forgot who it was that asked me to ask you this. She had a wallet that she opened, and it's like she lost it, but when she opened it, there was no money in it. What was that all about? You told me the one about he couldn't yeah. find his wallet. She found yeah. her wallet, and it was empty. Is there a difference between that one?
Well, this person is afraid of their financial status, their financial identity, their security in the, yes?
Oh, we have a caller. Are you on the air?
Caller? I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Patricia, I have a short dream, but it was, and I followed your work, love your book.
I wanted
to see if your interpretation might be something that I thought about it. But basically, in this dream, I was in a corporate office, and a male came in, and he fired me.
Wait, where were you? You were in an office?
Yes, in a corporate office.
Corporate office. Yes. Oh, okay, a corporate uh-huh. office, right.
And my boss, I presume, who is male, came in and fired me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like totally unexpected, and I didn't sort of rebel against it. But after he did that, I was like, well, I wonder why that is, because I didn't really know. And then the next part of the dream is just me looking through the drawers and like cleaning out my stuff, getting ready to leave.
I love this dream. I love it, love it, love it. And I'll tell you why. Everyone and everything in your dreams is an aspect of yourself. And in this dream, you have the male and female figure, which are the Jungian paradox. The male figure represents your feeling-centered side, your feminine, and the female figure in your dream represents your productivity, work, masculine side. So in this dream, you're going through some kind of transformation, I'm gathering, because your feeling side is taking over and firing your masculine side and telling it to take a hike.
Yeah. I thought about it in terms of, you know, what you teach, and I'm thinking the same thing. So thank you.
This is a beautiful dream. So you're looking through your drawers. What that tells me is you didn't blow up or go crazy. You just accepted it. So you're looking through your drawers. Okay, now what? It's kind of like, okay, now what?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, this is a beautiful thing, because a lot of women, now, are by chance, are you a successful woman in life? Would you say you're a successful person and has had some
yes.
success in the productivity side of life? Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
Have you previously been a career woman rather than a woman with a career?
Absolutely. It has been so much a part of my identity, but just the way I do things.
Being a career woman first. Well, in this dream, your subconscious mind has decided, has said, you are now maybe going to be a woman with a career rather than a career woman. And the way we say that that way is because maybe you'll put your feminine side, your feeling-centered side, and your fun before your work.
Yes, absolutely.
So fun and pleasure as a female and potential relationships first and work second. Not that you're not going to have work, but you'll just switch your priorities. Your subconscious mind already told me that it did.
Right. And I was kind of shocked by it, but I wasn't in the dream. You know, I was like, okay, you know.
You were accepting.
I was okay with it. Yeah, exactly.
It seemed to me you were very much accepting of this is the way it is now.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Please call back. I love it.
All right. I will. Take care. Bye-bye.
I want to say something to everybody out there. Don't be shy. We don't know who you are. This is an anonymous call-in show. So you can let it all hang out. It's LA Talk Radio, which is definitely irreverent. So let it all hang out. And I wanted to remind us a little bit ago, someone talked about waiting before you choose to be with somebody, but the main thing that Dr. Pat teaches is we have to have the three C's.
Yes.
The three C's and a ring. Three C's. You want to tell them what the three C's are, Sue?
Chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
And then you get a ring.
If all of those, and you know, chemistry, you don't always get chemistry at the first meeting. Oh, yeah. Chemistry for women, we fall in love with our ears. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, do you have a dream for Patricia?
Yeah, hi, good evening. I just want to say, before I tell you my dream, I think you're doing a great job. You know, both of you, Sue and Patricia, and I've listened to the show, enjoyed and learned a lot, really. So, saying that, I did have a dream. Of course, it's a strange dream.
Everyone says their dreams are strange. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I will find myself sleeping on the beach, and it's daytime or something, but I notice there's some, like, clothing or something under me. And as I look at this clothing, it turns out it's actually a kid that's somehow sleeping under me. And this kid pops up.
Male or female?
Wait a minute.
Male or female?
Well, I knew you were asking that because it's kind of an androgynous kid. I think it's more male, but very, the word diffident, meaning feminine kind of male.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mean androgynous figure.
Anything,
that's okay. It's an androgynous figure.
Yeah. I would say closer to an androgynous figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, and then we get into this conversation where I'm trying to give him career advice for some reason, like, you know, you could be a photographer, but you're going to have to work at it a little bit and this and that. And then I'm interrupted in the middle of this conversation on the beach by a friend of mine who's a famous plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, California, whose name, well, I'll leave his name out. But anyway, and I hear him calling me, and he wants me to work with his designer. So in the past, I knew this doctor because I owned an art gallery. So I rush off to meet this particular doctor and to work with his designer. But I realize I'm looking to this doctor friend of mine, and he appears to be on drugs. He doesn't seem to be quite himself. So that's my strange dream, and I really don't know how to put the pieces together because they seem so different.
Well,
I'm wondering.
The androgynous feet. You're saying you're sleeping on a beach. You're having a nap on the beach. Is that how it started?
Yes, correct.
Okay,
and
so you're napping.
On some clothes.
I get that, but so when you're near a beach, mm-hmm. You're not in your relationship, sensual, sexual side of life, but you are near it. you're near, so there's something near you, your sensual sexual side of life, but you're not in it, you're just near it. So I'm trying to get you to relate to your life. So you're on, you discover that there's this androgynous figure under you that you start having a conversation with. So that's your androgyny, which is your masculine and feminine. So I imagine that you are a creative, I can hear that you're a man, but are you a creative person and also
I'm productive a person? I've always been a writer.
So you're productive and creative.
A writer and been involved with the visual arts as well. Yes.
Okay, so that's the androgyny. You're a productive, creative person. And now you're having a conversation with yourself, your inner self, and the conversation is about what you could do, something about photography. You say what the androgynous figure said, it wanted to do photography. Is that what you said?
Exactly.
And then what were you telling him? Then what were you telling it to do?
I think I was trying to give him sort of career advice. You know,
career
you
advice.
To do this.
Okay. So you're giving yourself career advice is what you're doing. In our dreams, we have message dreams, and we actually are giving ourselves advice at time. When you have dreams like this, we call it a message dream. And that way you are giving yourself advice. So what were you advising yourself in this dream?
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember, but I think it was something to do with how to frame a portrait, you know, something to that effect. I was sort of holding up my hands in a square. And
so you're designing something. You're designing something. You're doing something creative.
Framing something.
So what are you doing in your life where you're designing something? What do you do where you could be designing something? Do you do things that are designing things?
Well, I mean, other than designing my life and my business.
Well, you said another creative side. Are you designing something in your workplace?
I think I'm being more creative on the business side than on the writing side or the art side.
But you're showing your hands to me, so are you doing something that makes something have to be formatted or created in a set? Because you're describing your hands.
I would say most literally what you're saying is, of course, as a writer, I'm tip-tapping on the computer, but...
What else? That's framing. There's something to do with framing and formatting. Do you do anything to do with framing and formatting?
I'm a publisher, so yes, I do formatting books.
Okay.
But it's not manual in that sense.
I understand, but this is not literal. Our dreams are not literal, but you do things that require you to envision formatting, is what I'm saying. So you're envisioning.
Yes, but more books than...
I understand. Yes, you are doing this in your dream. So when I was dealing with someone who was a lawyer, assistant lawyer person, paralegal, she would be dreaming of typing all night. But so you're used to doing that formatting. So it's something you're accustomed to doing. And now you are doing this in your dream. And what's the next part of it after the using the hands to show how
to... Well, then I'm distracted. I'm distracted by this doctor friend of mine, his voice. Mm-hmm. Calling me, and it's like there's a job that I'm supposed to do for him, and this relates to my years in the gallery and how
and
I
he
with him on.
He is representing your feeling centered side. Now he is also a creative person. If someone who is what kind of doctor is he?
He is very creative. He's a plastic surgeon, and he actually is a great artist.
Okay, so you're talking again about the creative side of you, which is your feeling centered. Men create from their feminine. Women create from their masculine. So in this sense, it's your creative side is being beckoned. And so your creative side is beckoning you to do something. And what is he beckoning you to do? What is he saying?
Well, it's, yeah, it's not that creative. It's like working with his designer, and it's similar in where I was talking about framing. It was like I was to measure out the space where the designer and I were supposed to work on his project. So it had to do with measuring, not with,
It's still creative, and it's the way you create. It's the way you see things, and it's the creative side of you he represents that's beckoning you to create. So where's your next project? Because something is beckoning you to get on it and get on to the next project. So let's hop to here. Where's the next project? Let's get the next project going, because it's beckoning.
Okay, I mean, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, when I think of my creativity today, it's not so much in my writing field, but more being creative in business and approaching.
But this is doing this type of work that you do. I don't want you to get away from what your subconscious is telling me. You're going back, and I'm telling you, subconscious is telling me that your creativity is beckoning you to do more of this. Framing and measuring and seeing things visually. Where's your next project? Where's your next? You said you're a writer, and you're also a publisher. You said so. Where's the next? Frame and measure and do. It's coming. Coming.
Okay, all right, I appreciate that. Well, all right, I mean, that makes sense, and I do appreciate you pulling apart the pieces, because they were so hodgepodge to me.
Clear to me, very okay. Clear to me.
Okay, well, I've read your book, you know, and I do keep the pad by the side, you know, my end table there, and so I am taking notes, you know, when these dreams even, I think this was like at 5 in the morning. I didn't feel like getting up or writing down. But I did, and your book is great. Congratulations on that, too.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
Okay.
All 5-star reviews are appreciated.
Okay. Yes, I sent that in. So continue your good work, Patricia, to both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where can they buy your book at? Amazon?
Amazon. And the reviews are found. Amazon has bona fide purchase reviews. And so far, I think I have 39 or 40 5-star reviews.
Oh, that's good. Perfect.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I love it too. Please, men, call in. I love hearing from the men too. And yeah. I take men private, men who want to have relationship issues. They call me, and my call in, my office line is 310-528-0515, and couples. So my website again is thedreamclass.com, and you can always get in touch with Sue at
info@drpatallen.com or 949-723-0338. I can guide you to Patricia, tell you about Dr. Allen's ladies groups, referrals for the EMDR. A lot of people want EMDR therapy. Maybe you can touch in on that a little bit to help the audience.
Yeah, sometimes when we have people with trauma and unresolved traumas, we send them to EMDR, which is a form of trauma therapy using a very wonderful tool that was originally developed for Vietnam vets. And they stick these little things on top of your head. It's non-invasive, and they read your brain waves, and then you can although that's the neurofeedback. We also do that. We send people to neurofeedback as well. People have anxieties and stuff. But the EMDR is where it was developed rapid eye movement technique. And then now they have the little buzzers they put in your ears or little vibrators in your hands. And that helps you get in almost like a hypnotic state, but it's a relaxed state that you can talk without angst about your trauma, and it helps you resolve your traumas. It's a wonderful tool, a style of therapy, and there's EMDR.com to get in find out on their website who does EMDR in your area. So that's another tool we sometimes suggest people do. And there's also brain spotting. And I've had some of my clients do brain spotting for trauma work as well. While I'm doing their dream work with them and their life script stuff, another adjunct is to do brain spotting or EMDR to help flush out the remnants of traumas.
Yes. Okay, I hope we have some more callers for their dreams. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Do you have any other information
I'll talk to you more about the dream world. And the dream world, also, I've talked about the hierarchy of people, nature, and things, and also the masculine and feminine. Well, the masculine and feminine are dreams. We can look at the symbol, the yin-yang symbol, you know, the black swirl with the white dot in it and the white swirl with the black dot in it. Those represent the masculine and feminine energies. The black swirl is the feminine and the white dot in the center of that feminine swirl is her masculine soul. And the white swirl is energetically the masculine. And the black dot represents the feminine soul of a man. And Dr. Allen always said, the soul of a man is feminine and the soul of a woman is masculine. And that comes from C.J. Jung's book, C.J. Jung's work. And Emma Jung wrote the book called Anima Animus about the masculine and feminine energies. But we springboard off of that and took it further into this dream world about the masculine and feminine and the Jungian paradox in our dream life. So I'm sure if he had lived, he would have gone where we finally went, and further into the unknown. And that's how we come up with the stuff that our dreams are made of.
So true. Very good. Well, next week, let's tell the audience, next week we'll have Dr. Pat on and to talk a little bit more about the WAN Institute and her ladies groups. And Patricia will be doing more dreams. So make sure you people out there write down your dreams and call us. That would be great. Get some interpretations here. And we're going to.
Yeah, everyone will come back from their vacations after President's Week. Okay.
Anything else you want to share the audience, or we can close up the shop today? What's up to you if you have any more information to tell the audience?
Well, I always like to talk about more aspects in the book, but the book is beautiful. So it's also a coffee table style book with 22 of my dreamlike photographic images to enhance the material. But I really love it when people share their dreams on a level that when they feel comfortable to share what they think is just a crazy dream and they slough it off thinking, oh, this couldn't mean anything. I can get something out. If they tell me they dreamt of one thing, if they just say to me, I saw a cat crossing a road, that's enough for me to dig into what it means for them. So don't be afraid to call in, even if you only saw one image that you remembered. Because we can build on it from there. What's going on?
Yeah, I think a friend of mine called in one time and she only had like two symbols and you pulled out a lot. She was amazed.
That's how it works. And I help people get to what's in their own subconscious. I don't make it up. It's in their mind.
That's true. And it's also good, like, I always have my ladies and my ladies groups talk to Patricia because it stirs up the subconscious and it helps them heal. It's amazing that it's you know, helps them push through on their learning to be feminine and to do a lot of the past traumas. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Hi, yes, I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Hi, so the other day I just had a dream. It was just a really quick glimpse. I was cleaning a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before I woke up, I just seen a gold bar, like a bar that you can make jewelry.
Ooh. Did it come from the toilet or was it outside the toilet?
No, it was just like a glimpse and then I woke up.
Well, you know what's wonderful about this dream? Just when we think, you know, life has given us lemons or there's something is coming for what is going on in your life where you think that you're doing something mundane. Cleaning toilets is kind of mundane, ordinary, everyday task. But something golden is going to come from just doing your everyday tasks.
Okay,
so do you happen to have a positive outlook for your life? I think you do.
Well, the night before I had the dream, well, the day before I lost my job.
You lost your job. So you know what? That's a shitty feeling. So you're cleaning the toilet out. But I know by this dream that you have a positive outlook because you're the type of person who can see the silver lining, in this case, the gold bar, beyond a shitty circumstance.
Okay.
Do you
bad and down on myself.
Were down on yourself, but you're cleaning out the toilet. You're cleaning it out. So that are you actively looking for a new job?
Yeah, now I am.
See? So you're not going to just wallow in your negative feelings. You're out there looking for the gold bar.
Okay, thank you.
You're actively cleaning out the old shit and looking positively to the future of the golden future.
Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for calling in. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I'll be giving you a call next week because I always have dreams, and I accidentally came onto the website and started hearing about dream interpretation. And so I'm
wonderful. Gonna
get your book. Yeah.
Wonderful. Perfect.
Call us next week.
Okay.
I will because I always remember my dreams, but they're odd to me. They don't never make sense.
Well, they do make sense once I show you how they make sense.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you.
Well, you go get them and you stay positive. You are a positive person, I can tell by your subconscious mind told me that.
Okay, great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good caller.
Really great. See, the simplest thing in a dream can reveal what's going on in your subconscious mind.
Yes, it can. So we're winding down at that. Do you have any more last words? We're winding down to that hour of ending.
Well, I always want to say that the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
And please join us next week. We'll have Dr. Pat on. We'll have Patricia on. I will be on, and we'd love to take your questions and also have your dreams interpreted. See you next week, folks.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.